On the record.
Good morning. My name is William Usman. I am the hearings officer assigned to this matter. Today is April 4th, 2025. The time is 10:33 a.m. This is case number 1250056. The appellant's name, Robert Barasek. This matter involves the tow of a vehicle. We are appearing remotely today in the Zoom platform. I'm joined by the hearings office clerk. It does not appear that we have a member of the police bureau present. Before I can proceed, I need to make sure that they received adequate notice of the hearing today. To do that, I'm looking at the case management system, Exhibit 3 and Exhibit 5. Exhibit 3 is the notice of hearing. Exhibit 5 are the Zoom participation instructions. Both were issued on April 2nd, 2025. Both indicate the hearing is today at 10:30 a.m. Zoom links are provided. Down at the bottom of the notice of hearing, Exhibit 3 is a certificate of mailing indicating that it was emailed to the Portland Police Bureau at the email address they provided. After the notice of hearing went out, the Portland Police Bureau uploaded a police report to the online case management system indicating that they did receive notice. In addition, I have a ex parte or one-sided communication that I need to disclose. I'm looking for it now. It was an email sent by the Portland Police Bureau Records Department. It is dated Wednesday, April 3rd. It's addressed to me. It says, "Hello, William, the PPB report associated with this tow hearings case 25-78573 is open with the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. I've sent an email to them seeking approval to release either all or part of this report and am awaiting response. Thanks." The person's name is Brenna Ryan, Portland Police Bureau, and they're the coordinator of public records. I did not respond to that email, and subsequently they did upload the police report. If the member of the public, the appellant, would like an opportunity to respond to that ex parte communication, they're welcome to do so during the case in chief. All right. Having gotten that out of the way, I'd like the appellant, the member of the public who asked for this tow appeal request, to state their name for the record. You can take yourself off of mute and state your first and last name.
Okay. My name is Robert Brian Friesick.
Thank you for being here. Is it okay if I call you the appellant? That just means that you asked for the hearing, appellant.
That's fine.
Okay. I'll refer to you as the appellant moving forward. Thank you for being here. Is the vehicle still in storage at the tow yard?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. And did you get a copy of my interim order clarifying that this tow appeal hearing request is limited to the Mazda and not the Charger?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. The next thing I want to do is I want to make sure that you received a statement of your rights. It was sent as an email, PDF attachment. It was the same email that the notice of hearing was sent. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Did you have any questions about what your rights are here today?
No, sir. Not at this time. No.
Great. Next, I want you to understand that I am a quasi-judicial hearings officer. Quasi-judicial is just a fancy way of trying to indicate that what I do is similar to what a judge does. The similarity is that I'm independent and neutral. I do work for the city, but I don't work for the Portland Police Bureau. I don't take any sorts of enforcement actions. My job is solely to decide if the facts lined up with the applicable law in a case like this, I would reach a legal conclusion that either the tow is valid, meaning that you would remain responsible for the towing and storage charges, or that the tow is invalid or unjustified, in which case I would find that we would reimburse you or give you an order to go get the vehicle out for free from the tow yard.
Thank you.
So that's what my role is. That's how I make my decision, and that's the scope of my decision-making authority.
Okay.
Sometimes people get a parking citation. In your case, I think you got a couple of possible traffic violations. And I just want you to understand that those are separate proceedings down at the courthouse. And because those are probably still ongoing and they might be criminal in nature, I'm not sure. I just want to make sure you understand that you have the right to not be a witness against yourself. And what that means is, you cannot be compelled to testify in a proceeding that might adversely affect you. And so I just wanted to make you aware that you have the right to remain silent and not testify here today. But you also have the right to move forward. And after I swear you in, give me your side of the story on why you should have the tow be found invalid and be not responsible for the towing and storage charges. Do you have any questions about that right to remain silent and not testify against yourself?
No, I don't have any questions about that.
Okay, great. Since it's just you and me, I think the best way to proceed is to swear you in, hear from you, whatever it is that you want me to understand about your case. Then we can look at the Portland Police Bureau police report. And then when we're done looking at that, we can come back to you and let you respond in any way that you want to what the police report is saying as to why they towed the vehicle and why they think that it was a valid tow. Is that an okay way to proceed on your end?
That sounds good.
Terrific. All right. Well, if I can't see you, but that's okay. If that's your preference, I'll take you at your word.
You can see me?
I don't know. There's a video. Oh, yeah, there you go. Now I can see you.
This is our first time doing this, so.
Perfect.
I just tried to figure it out.
You're doing great. I can see you. I can hear you. If you would raise your right hand, I will swear you in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you provide here today is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Great. You may lower your hand. It looks like you were in the online case management system and uploaded some photographs, and I'm sure you saw that that's where we put the notice of hearing and the statement of rights. I would like to admit those into the record, which just means that I can look at everything and rely on them and helping me make my decision in this case. Do you have any objection to me admitting exhibits
problem.
1 through? Okay,
no
so
problem.
It's exhibits 1 through 11 with the ones that you added today, and so I'm going to admit into the record exhibits 1 through 11. No problem?
No problem.
Great, thank you. They're admitted. All right, you are sworn in. I want you to know that I did read your tow appeal request form, and it looks like you had a couple of vehicles and the police showed up, and they were calling the tow trucks, and then you submitted earlier today some photographs, and I would love it if you could just explain to me the nature of those photographs, how they factor into the issues that you want me to consider, and elaborate on anything that happened that day when the tow trucks came.
Okay, well, we took a picture of the car down the street that has been sitting there for over a month that they drove right by that looks like a hazard to me. And it's still sitting there. They never towed it. And then we took pictures of the cul-de-sac. It's not posted nowhere about parking. And then one street over from us is a picture of those cars in the cul-de-sac where they're parked the same way as ours, and they sit there every day, you know? Yeah. So that's what we took pictures of.
Okay. That helps me
understand. And I was just down there. I don't live down there, but a gentleman was working on my car. I went down to pick my charger up because I heard that they had to move them. I was going to move my charger. And he said, too late, tow truck's on the way. And so I jumped in my Mazda to move it, and I moved it 5 feet. And he said, come over and said, can I see your license? I said, I don't have one. He asked my licensed driver to leave the premises, or he was going to get arrested. So that's why I got in my car and moved it 5 feet. I was waiting for the tow truck to move, and then I was going to pull my car out so it didn't get towed. Yeah.
Does the Mazda was able to be turned on and driven 5 feet before the police officer stopped you?
Yes, yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's a good running car. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think I have a good understanding of what happened from your point of view. Let's go ahead and take a look at that police report and see what the police are saying. Did you have a chance to review that prior to today?
Yes, we have. Yep, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm opening it now. It's several pages long, 18 pages long. I'm going to go ahead and scroll down to the... narrative section, which starts on page 9.
Okay.
And it looks like the most relevant information, well, I'll summarize it. It looks like this police officer showed up on March 25, 2025 to a report of people fighting. And they say, quote, "We warned everybody that the cars needed to be moved or they would be towed at a future time," end quote. Then on March 27, 2025, the officers showed up and they saw numerous vehicles in the cul-de-sac. And they're saying that these vehicles were, quote, "creating traffic hazards, parked more than a foot from the curb, parked blocking the road, parked in the middle of the road," end quote. Then if you scroll down a little bit, he says regarding the black Mazda, quote, "A black Mazda 3 with Oregon license plate 823HAC was parked facing southbound on the southern edge of the cul-de-sac, more than a foot from the curb, blocking cars from being able to turn around," end quote. And if you scroll down further, the officer talks about how they towed the vehicles, ordered the vehicles towed, and when the tow trucks arrived, appellant emerged from a different RV and claimed that the three mentioned cars belonged to him. Appellant said he would move them. Appellant then got into the Mazda and tried to drive it away. A records check showed that the Mazda was flagged sold from 2021. I walked up to the Mazda and asked appellant if he had a driver's license. Appellant then provided me with an Oregon ID card. I asked appellant if he was suspended, and he told me that he was. A records check confirmed that appellant was suspended, and I confirmed his identity via an Oregon ID card photo. I then issued appellant a citation for DWS and driving uninsured. 21 Century responded and towed the Mazda. End quote. So that's the city's position. It looks like they're basically saying, one, the vehicle was creating a hazard because of the way it was parked, more than a foot from the curb. Vehicles wouldn't be able to turn around in the cul-de-sac. And they're saying that you also were driving the vehicle while suspended and without insurance. And each one of those, they're saying, is a lawful reason to tow a vehicle without giving you prior notice. So now that you've heard the city's explanation, what sort of response do you want to provide that I should still find in favor of you?
They could. Cars could still go down in there and turn around where my Mazda was parked. And I was only there for like 15 minutes because I'd come to check on my charger. I only have two cars there, not three. I have two, the Mazda and the charger. My charger was being worked on. It was ready to go. I asked him if I could move it. He said, "Too late. Tow trucks are on the way." So that's when I got in my Mazda and proceeded to drive, move it. And I moved it 5 feet. And then he come over and talked to me. "Got a license?" I said, "No, sir."
Did he ask your license driver?
Yeah. I had a license driver there, but before that, he was talking to the two Asian guys. Well, one of them was my driver, and he told him they were giving him a bad time, you know. And they told him, he told him to leave the premises or they're going to get arrested. So my licensed driver had to walk off. That's my case.
Okay. Well, I think I understand the facts. I think I understand what the law is. Because it's still in storage, I'm going to make a decision right now on the record. It does look like the way City Council has written the law is that if you are operating or driving a vehicle without insurance and without a license, that the police officer can tow the vehicle. And it doesn't sound like there's any issue around the fact that you drove the vehicle. It was a short distance of only five feet,
yeah.
But, you know, city council didn't say a length on that.
I was just trying to, you know, save my car from getting towed, you know.
That makes sense.
Because I live on SSI, and I can't afford tows, you know. I get $900 a month, yeah. I get $900 a month, you know.
And then I looked at your other photographs about, you know, other vehicles that maybe were creating hazards or were broken down. Like, I think one didn't even have any tires on it. And so I hear you saying, look, there's unequal enforcement here, and that's unfair. And that might be valid and important. That's the executive branch of government, and they're in charge of who they enforce against and who they don't. And then you got the city council, and they write the laws. And so my job is limited to, is what the Portland police officer did consistent with the way city council wrote the laws? And if they choose to enforce against one person and not another person, generally speaking, that's something that they're entitled to do under the executive branch and their enforcement powers. And it's not unfettered discretion. There might be constitutional constraints on what they can and can't do. But under the facts of this case, I'm not seeing a nexus to say that's unconstitutional that they towed you and not the person the next street over for a similar situation. That's outside the scope of what I'm allowed to consider when I'm deciding, you know, do the facts support a tow? And you were driving without a license, without insurance, and that city council said that's good enough, they can tow your car. So I do have to find under the facts of this case that this is a valid tow, and that means that you remain responsible for the towing and storage charges. I'm going to issue a decision, and the last page is contact information for the court. The judge is kind of my boss when it comes, you know, lack of a better way to phrase it. They're kind of my boss if I made a mistake or not. So if you think I made a mistake and you want to appeal this to a judge, they would review my decision, and you do have that right. And I'll get this decision out just as soon as possible so that you can avail yourself of that next option if that's of interest to you.
Okay, you too, Michelle.
We have one more thing we'd like to say.
I would just need to swear you in and get your first and last name for the record.
Okay.
What's your first and last name?
I'm Patrick Croson.
Croson? How do you spell your last name, Patrick?
C-R-O-W-S-O-N.
And do you swear or affirm that the testimony you provide here today is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
You may lower your hand. And are you a friend of the appellant?
I am.
And you want to, he's asking you to testify here today, I understand?
Yes, he is.
Okay, go right ahead. What do you want me to know?
So, I just would like to state that the vehicle, as stated in the police report, was at the southwestern edge of the cul-de-sac, not in the middle. And another thing that I would like clear is that Mr. Barisic would not have been driving that vehicle if the officer had not asked his friend to leave the premises. And so in a way, that's kind of entrapment in a way, because it's a crime that Barisic committed that he would not have committed had the officer not done what he did. And Mr. Barisic was just trying to do what he had to do in given the given situation.
And remind me again, the friend that would typically drive the vehicle for appellant, the officer asked him to leave. Do you know why the officer asked the friend to leave?
I wasn't there for that part of it, so I don't know the exact details. But I do know that his name was Sun Trin, and I believe he was arguing with the officer about towing his brother's car
got towed first, yeah.
Okay. And appellant, could I ask you, do you know why the officer asked Sun Tran to leave?
Because they were both arguing with him, yes.
Okay.
His brother's car got towed first.
I see. Okay. Well, I appreciate that extra testimony. Anything else?
Also, I don't know for sure, but I thought that there was some ordinance that if the owner of the vehicle was present on a hazard tow, if the owner of the vehicle was present, that they were supposed to get an opportunity to move their vehicle. And Mr. Borisic was trying to correct the situation any way he could, and the officer was not reasonable in allowing any kind of situation to happen. He was intent on towing those cars. And there was no way to stop it. Risik's Mazda wasn't even there a couple nights prior to when the officer was there because of the people fighting. It wasn't there then. The only reason it was there was because he was working on getting his charger out of there as a temporary situation. That's how he got there. And they towed both the cars, you know? And now Risik's out several thousand dollars by the time this is over, because he's without a car now and having to get transportation and go through all this, and it's I just feel it's very unfair.
You know, if city council wrote the laws differently, you might have an outcome that would be favorable. And The role that I play in city government is not one where I write the laws, and it's not one where I make enforcement decisions where somebody says, well, that's not fair. For example, you mentioned financial hardship and the economic burden this has. I believe you. And city council wrote into the code that I can't even consider that. And so it's these issues that are outside my scope of discretion. And I appreciate what you're saying about the hazard, and maybe it wasn't a hazard, that it wasn't there the day previously. The section that they towed it under doesn't require any sort of advance warning. It literally says without prior notice. And so it would have been a courtesy to say, move your car, I'll be back tomorrow, and if it's not moved, then I'm going to tow it. But that would just be a courtesy. That wasn't required. And so even though it was only there for that moment, that still is a valid tow. And then the last piece of it is, each one of these is an independent reason to validate the tow. A hazard, driving uninsured, driving while suspended. And so let's just look at driving while suspended. That alone is enough for an officer to validly tow the car. And the appellant is saying, I don't have a license, I drove the vehicle 5 feet. Those are the elements that are necessary for the officer to effectuate a valid tow. And I appreciate that we wouldn't have been in this predicament had the licensed driver that you have used in the past was there to move the vehicle. That would have been a way to avoid it. On the facts, however, I don't believe that is a valid reason to violate the law. Again, that might seem unfair, and if city council had written the laws differently, or if the Portland police officer had utilized their discretion differently, you might have a favorable outcome. But based on the facts and the law as they are in the record, my duty is to find that the tow is valid, and that does mean that you remain responsible. So what I can do at this point is I can type up that decision as fast as possible and get it to you so that you can see where the laws are, where the facts are, and if you think I made a mistake, you can take it to the next level and ask a judge to review and see if maybe I made an error. And we do provide contact information on the last page to facilitate you getting in contact with the court. Okay. So I want to thank you both for being here and allowing me to a full understanding of the case. And nothing further. I'm going to go ahead and end the Zoom call and go off record. And nothing further. We're off record.
Thank you.